Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are listening to the Nighttime Podcast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Nighttime series covering the strange story of the Halifax Glove Guy. In the prior episode, we heard four stories of late-night encounters with this enigmatic glove salesman. Now, as strange and disturbing as those stories may have been, they all had relatively happy endings. All the fellows we met got out of the car about as unscathed as you would hope, given the situation. But as you heard me mention at the end of the last episode, not everyone was so lucky. Tonight, we're going to hear about the dark side of the glove. To provide you some background information, after the release of the first episode in this series, there was considerable online debate about whether or not this man was a harmless glove salesman, or something worse. Defenders of the eccentric glove guy seemed to be unaware of a detail that the Halifax police made no secret of. I wrote to them asking for a statement related to the glove guy phenomenon, and their response was surprising.
Hi Jordan, I can confirm that we have received reports and information regarding a man offering rides to male pedestrians and asking them to try on gloves after they entered the vehicle. Each report was investigated to determine if anything of a criminal nature had occurred. In May 2016, officers charged with one count of committing an indecent act in relation to one of the reports. We appreciate that this behavior may be disconcerting and encourage anyone who has been approached in this manner to contact police so we can investigate the matter.
These criminal charges against the glove guy were new to me and set me off on a bit of a journey to get to the bottom of what was so severe about this event that justified criminal charges. The victim in the case, Sean, was more than willing to share his encounter with the dark side of the glove. So with all that said, let's get into it. Tonight, in this episode, we're going to hear about the time that glove guy went a few steps too far.
Without getting too much personal information, just tell me a little bit about yourself and what your life would have been like in 2016 when this happened.
So 2016, I was still in the military at the time. I was also still in high school, just finishing up just before I went to college.
Okay, so how old were you?
I would be 19 at that time.
Okay, so young guy. All right, so in what, tell me about what eventually led you to Glove Guy. Like, what time of year was it? What were you doing? What's the story?
If I remember correctly, it was about summertime. I was walking down from the dome back home, and I was plastered, just super drunk, but it was to the point where I knew what was going on, but I couldn't really walk, and everything was kind of blurry in my vision.
And you're alone?
Yes, I was walking alone.
Okay.
My friends got a cab somewhere else, and I decided to walk back home.
Okay. So, and when you say plastered to the point that you know what's going on, but hardly. So, I'm picturing you in the middle of the night, and you're just basically stumbling up the street.
Yes.
Like, were you holding onto walls drunk, or were you on your feet?
I was on my feet, and I was just kind of swaying back and forth a little bit.
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, tell me about how you get with Glove Guy. How does this happen?
So I was walking up by Spring Garden, heading towards Dalhousie, and it was right on the corner, just past McDonald's, was where he came up and pulled over, and I crossed the street, and he came up and said, "Hey, like, do you need a ride? I usually, you know, drive people who are drunk and can't get home because I just want to be that nice guy and make sure they get home safe, and yeah, just so they don't get in trouble and get thrown in the drunk tank from the cops and things like that," he told me.
Okay. And what time is this?
This would be probably either very close to 4 in the morning or just after.
Okay. So he's, you know, "I want to help you. I'm a nice guy." Do you remember? Were you reluctant to get in, or did you just hop right in his car?
I talked to him. At first I said no, and he said, "Well, you know, this is what I do. And here I have a business card. I also sell gloves, you know, on the side." He seemed like the nice guy, and I said, "Well, I could barely even walk, right?" Mm-hmm. So I said, "Why not?" Seemed like a nice guy. I got in the car at that time.
And did you ever hear the glove guy or anything about this?
No, I didn't hear anything about him.
So you're just, this nice glove salesman's going to give me a ride home.
Yeah.
So where you live, like where he picked you up to where you live wasn't much of a distance. So you weren't, I guess you wouldn't have been in the car very long. Like what happened during the car ride?
So as soon as I got in the car, first thing he did was pitch me his glove sales. Told me that he'd done some Ubering before.
Okay.
And, you know, now he sells gloves, like leather gloves that he made as a side job. And he just saying, hey, since I'm giving you a drive, can you at least, you know, try on these gloves for me? You know, just let me know what you think. So there's three pairs, and they all seem like girly type gloves. And the only one I could find that was kind of like, you know, that seemed like a man's was a short leather glove. And I remember it had holes in the knuckles, and your fingertips were coming out.
Okay.
And he asked me to try on the gloves, and I did try them all. And I said, I like this one mostly because it's the most manly type pair he had. And I remember it looked like he was doing some type of weird movement, but I didn't think of it because at that time, like I said, my visions were kind of blurry.
Yeah. And were you in the driver's, like the passenger seat or in the back? Or
I was in the passenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say weird movements, like he didn't see it right away, but he was just like squirming in his seat or what?
That's what it kind of seems like at the time.
Okay.
But I didn't really think much of it. You know, I just thought, nice guy. I'm just going to try on these gloves and get it done and over with. Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you try on his gloves. When did it get weird? Like, how did it escalate?
Well, he was, I remember him saying, like, oh, just work in the gloves a little bit. Yeah, just like that. I remember him saying things like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, just stretch it in, work it in, and make sure those are the gloves you really want, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else am I supposed to do. I just kept on pulling down on the gloves. I was like, I guess these are the...
Like just forcing your hand in a glove.
Yeah, even though they were on tight. And he's like, just work them in a little bit. Just work them in, work them in. And, you know, I thought that, you know, he was interested in men, but at that, you know, I didn't really care what his preference was, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he seemed like a nice guy. And I got on the drive just past my house. And I took off the gloves, and I was just about to get out, and he's like, hey, can you 100% make sure, like, these are the gloves you want? I was like, I just tried them on. He said, well, just work them in a little bit more. Make sure those are the gloves you like. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll do it one last time. Done. Go home and sleep.
And at this point, are you thinking there's any sexual vibe with you trying on the gloves, or did it just seem like maybe he was a pushy salesman?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So
you were feeling pretty weird by now, I guess.
Yeah, I felt like he kind of came off like he was trying to hit on me, and at the same time really trying to get me to either, you know, work in these gloves to the point where I'm going to rip them, or he just really wants me to buy these gloves and work them in. Like.
Okay.
So I got him pull about four or five houses past mine because I don't like strangers knowing where I live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you got pulled, I made sure you try on the glove. So I got the glove again. I put it on, and I'm working it on. I'm stretching the glove, and I was doing this for about 10, maybe 15 minutes before I finally looked over, and I was really trying to focus in on what he was doing, and I just remember him leaning back, and I remember seeing his penis was out, and he was jerking it.
Oh.
As soon as I seen that, I took off the glove. I opened up the door, I shut it, and I ran through my neighbor's yard, and I cut back to my house.
So you just took off right away?
Yeah.
Did you see him again? Like, did you see his car leave, or did he just, you know, what happened? Did you just get out and take off, and that was it?
I just got out, took off, went in my house, and then I went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I told my roommates what happened, and then I used to do volunteer work at choir. Uh-huh. And I told one of the volunteers what happened, and as soon as I said the glove guy, she knew exactly what I was going to say because apparently it happened to her friend as well. So at that point, that's when I decided to call the police. I gave them my story about everything, and yeah, so that's when I decided to get them charged.
When you call the police, like the next day, a couple days later?
Be 2 days after.
2 days. And like, it's such a strange story to call and tell the police Like, what did they, do you remember, like, how you explained it to them and what they said? Like, how did that go down?
Well, I remember when I called the police, I asked if I can call the non-emergency line. Mm-hmm. I asked if I can have an officer here because I want to tell them a story about a man who took out his penis and jerked off when he gave me a ride home.
Yeah.
So they sent officers there. They asked for a description, and I can give part of it, but I kind of forgot. But then I remembered I had his card with his face and everything onto it, his address and all that. Mm-hmm. And I said, here, this is actually his card. And I remember him giving it to me.
And where'd it go from there? So the police came, you told them the story.
Yeah, I told them the story. I also told them that one of my friends told me, you know, it happened to her friend. Mm-hmm. And that's why I came out now to, you know, charge him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's an on-occurring thing, mm-hmm. it has to be stopped.
Yeah. Do you think when you talked to the cop, did you get the impression that they were aware of this guy? Or were they kind of, like, looking like this was a shocking story to them?
Mm-hmm. I would say it seems more like a shocking story. Or they seem a little weirded out mm-hmm. from it.
Yeah. What happened after you told the police? Because eventually you faced him in court. So what happened next after you reporting this to the police?
So after I report the police, they told me they'll be in contact. They would get me a lawyer for it because I told them I want to press charges. Mm-hmm. And then I got a message about it. And then they said this is my court date, which was the following year in about 2017, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And I met with the lawyer that time. I told her what happened, and I told her that I heard it happen to other people. That's why I came out mm-hmm. about it.
And did what were the original charges he was facing?
I know it was indecent exposure, and we tried to get him down to be known as like a predator. Mm-hmm. But I guess there was a problem with that. Okay. I think it was more because of the age.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you were 19. So you meet with your lawyer, you tell the story, you get your court date, which is, you know, a year or so later.
Yeah.
So now we're in 2017. What did you, in that period of time, what did you learn about him? Because there's so many stories out there about the glove guy. Like, you must have done a Google search or something.
I didn't do any Google
really?
Search. I didn't know until... I didn't know he was on the internet until after you contacted me, and that's when I did research.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So you, in your mind, it happened to you and a friend of a friend, and that was about it?
Yeah.
Wow. And so now tell me about court. What was, like, this must be bizarre going to court over something like this.
Well, I thought that he wasn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then when I came, surely enough, he was there. He had his own lawyer. And I remember I was in the room with her. The lawyer came in and asked to see the evidence. And then it was the card, right? Mm-hmm. His card that he gave me. And when he looked at the card, he came back and they asked for a plea deal. And I did accept only because I was scared that he wouldn't get anything because I was intoxicated at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know...
You don't know what's going to happen. And like, what were you aiming to do? Did you want to warn people that this happened? Or were you wanting to see him in, you know, in jail and treatment or something? Like, what was a best case scenario for you?
If I could have my own way, I wish he would at least did some time in jail, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, get known throughout that, you know, as an awareness about mm-hmm. this guy and him getting treatment
yeah.
as well.
What was it like to see him in the room? Because it's the only time you would have ever seen him up until this point would have been you drunk and him in a dark car. Like, what was it like to see him in, you know, broad daylight in a courtroom?
Very weird. You know, I just felt a little bit of a disgust to look at him.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of worried that he would actually try to come and, you know, talk to me. But I did feel a little sense of comfort because I did have an officer right by me the whole time, kept me company.
Did the glove guy have to speak during the trial or anything like that?
He didn't say much. I remember the judge asking, saying that, so I heard that you're taking a plea, and then he said, yes, I do plead guilty to these charges.
And that was, but he didn't have to explain himself or anything?
No.
Did you have to, during the trial, did you have to give your story of what happened? Or did the lawyers handle all that?
The lawyers handled it.
You would think that the story is done at this point, but I understand after his sentence was delivered and you walk out of the courtroom, that's not the last time you've seen the glove guy.
No, so I remember he was supposed to get 6 months probation. And I remember I went downtown another time, and it had to be only 3 months. There was no way it was 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it was just outside of the dome this time. And he actually tried to pick me up again, and I said no. And when he drove off, I told a police officer right away what happened, how, you know, about the charges, and mm-hmm. this guy's supposed to have 6 months probation, and he tried to pick me up again. But I don't think they did anything.
Wow. Like, I think if I was in your position and this happened to me, I'd feel really, like, dirty about the whole thing. Like, I've never had the experience of having something like this happen. What does it feel like to have been through such a kind of a gross experience with somebody?
I felt very embarrassed. I didn't really want to tell people, but, you know, the more I talked about it, the more I just felt comfortable telling mm-hmm. people, because it's just kind of getting it off my chest, right?
Yeah.
So it was embarrassing. I did feel gross, and I was scared that people might make fun of me, but, you know, people were more understanding.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the other people I talked to, like, their stories didn't go this far, and they kind of chalked it up to, you know, it's more like a, you know, it was this weird, creepy thing, and it's kind of funny. But I'm really getting the vibe that you don't find anything funny about this. This is like a serious thing.
No, and it's not funny. It's gross. It's uncalled for.
Like, you jumped out of the car when this was happening. Like, do you feel like this could have progressed further? Like, maybe if you passed out in the car or something? Like, I'm just wondering, with your experience and what you've seen and been through, do you feel like this guy's a threat?
I feel that if I passed out in the car, I feel like he would have at least done some touching.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like he would have 100% done some touching if I passed out in his car. Then God knows that he would have left me on the road or anything.
After the second time you encountered him, you were kind of done with, you had no other basically run-ins or information come to you about Glove Guy. Tell me about what you thought about when you got the message from me and what you've learned about him since.
It threw me off guard because I didn't know my story was online or anything. So as soon as you messaged me, the first thing I did was, you know, Google, you know, my name. Nothing came up. But then when I Googled the Glove Guy, everything came up, you know, between YouTube videos and stories mm-hmm. online and how he's a legend and things like that, mm-hmm. or a myth that people think, which is not true.
A lot of people see it as it's more like a funny story and it's interesting and kind of weird. But what do you think of the story, having a firsthand encounter with this guy?
Funny, I would say it's more kind of disgusting and disturbing that this guy goes around, gets people to try on gloves because it's his fetish or whatever, and he'll jerk off. Like, that's not right.
I want to thank you for joining me for this episode of Nighttime. A third episode covering the Glove Guy will be out in the coming days, but I'm always up for doing more. If you've had an experience with the Glove Guy that you'd like to share, I want to hear from you. You can email me at nighttimepodcast@gmail.com or send me a voice memo at nighttimepodcast.com/contact. I look forward to hearing from you. Now, before we part here, let me end with some thanks. First, a big thanks to Sean for discussing such a delicate and traumatic experience with us. Sean's bravery in telling his story is something to be applauded, and I'm happy to have provided a platform for him to do it. Next, a big shout out to LJ from the Dystopian Simulation podcast, who provides my intro and outro voiceovers, and Monty Data, who provides the music. And then lastly, but most importantly, a thank you to everyone who listens to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, this show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. Now, on the topic of support, let me thank the newest subscribers of the premium feed. Frosty, Shelby, and Jordan, thank you for going premium. For anyone else who'd like to support the show, you can help us out here in a variety of ways. First of all, the premium feed costs just a couple dollars a month, and that funds the creation of the show, but the premium feed will also give you the episodes 2 days early, give them to you ad-free, and give you access to a full back catalog of episodes. You can go premium at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And even if you don't want to go premium, you can still support the show by simply sharing this episode on social media and letting all your like-minded friends know why they should listen. Your support in growing this is very much appreciated. Now, I'm going to wrap it up, but until next time, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte.
I said to my parents, don't trust her. They wouldn't listen.
Every family has a secret.
Joy Delaney, mother of four, has gone missing.
From the author of Big Little Lies comes a chilling new mystery to W.
You were an emotional chaos sinkhole, Amy, and I'm sick of it!
Starring Annette Bening.
Nobody can break your heart like your own children.
And Sam Neill.
She will come back. Here we go. Strap in.
Apples Never Fall. All new Thursdays, only on W. Stream on Stack TV.